Might we begin our meeting tonight by singing hymn on the hymn sheet number 10. Number 10. There is a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree. A Savior is willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty, His love great and free. Oh, come now to Jesus, that dear loving Savior. Receive Him this moment, and peace shall be thine. Might we stand and sing number 10.
There is a
Well, again, I would like to welcome all who have come here tonight. It's a gospel meeting, and that means that it's the good news from God. What a joy it is to present to you tonight, individually and collectively, a glorious person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I would like to speak particularly of two words. One, the word all, which would embrace all here and all in the world. And then one other word, the word one. All and one. So we'll find these scriptures mostly in the book of Romans. So we might turn to that book now. The first chapter of the book of Romans, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There are three things that are mentioned here in these verses about God. And first of all, dear friends, I would like to bring before you the holiness of God, the God that everyone in this audience is someday going to stand before. Large number here tonight, but the day is going to come when you, my dear friend, are going to stand before this one of whom we have been reading. And there are three things here. First of all, we notice in that first verse I read, the power of God. Oh, dear friends, the world is going after power today, rising up in all its scientific developments. But there is nothing that can stand against the power of God. And that power is going to raise every one of us here to stand before Him. The power of God. Oh, let's not minimize that mighty power of that God with whom you and I have to do. The power of God. And then in that 17th verse, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Oh, now the second thing now is that God is holy. Not only is He a God of power, but He is a God of righteousness. This is something that I trust will touch the heart and the conscience of every one of us here tonight. You little boys and girls that are here, we are speaking about the God that you are going to stand before. And it is a God of righteousness. Nothing can be hidden from Him. The power of God and the righteousness of God. And then the third point in the 18th verse, for the wrath of God is revealed. Oh, now this is not a very popular thing to be speaking about today. The wrath of God. People say, well, God is the God of love. Oh, but I want to emphasize as I start here tonight that there is wrath coming. God is a God of power. He is a God of righteousness. But also, this is a God of the wrath of God. What is He going to be angry about? Who is He going to be angry with? Here's our first all. Let's read it again. 18th verse, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against
all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. This is the wrath that is going to be and is revealed now and is going to be revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Now, I'm sure that if you have not heard this gospel simply presented, as I trust it will be tonight, you might have some thoughts about God that would not be based on the Word. But I want to just gently bring you tonight, each one of you individually, into the presence of this God with whom you have to do. And that is that God is going to be angry at you for that unrighteousness. Now you might say, I'm not familiar with any unrighteousness. I'm living a good, clean life, you might say. Or on the other hand, you might feel, well, there's no hope for me because I'm just so bad. Now, that word, all unrighteousness, would embrace everyone, as we're going to see now, because in these two chapters that follow, God breaks down the world into three groups. So we will look at them, first of all now, under that heading of all. And I can say this on the authority of God's Word, that every one of us here in this audience has fallen under one of these three groups. Now the first one is, we might say, nature in the raw, or the heathen apart from God. But as I read these verses tonight before I stood up and these three groups, I realized how suited they are to the conditions in which you and I find ourselves in this world today. Now let's go down to the first group, a little bit farther down. In the 28th verse. Now you might say, as before we read this, you might say, oh, not at all. How ridiculous, how insulting. I trust, my friend, that I am not speaking this at you. I trust that you are receiving this now as it is in truth the Word of God. This is how God embraces in that word all, everyone. The first group, as I said, we'll read it now and find how awful it is. God is saying this now about certain ones in this world, the first group, 28th verse. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all, there's another all now, with all unrighteousness. Filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication. Is that today? Lightly spoken. They say that it's just as common as shaking hands these days. God in His holy word says that this is one of the categories of the unrighteousness. You might say, I'm not guilty of that. We'll come to your condition later on if you don't put yourself in this class. But I want to lay before you in all the solemnity of God's Word that this is what God says as He looks down onto this earth. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, here's the fourth one now, the judgment of God, there's a day of judgment coming, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now, that's the first indication. Now, you might say, awful list. This is what God says now of this first group, worthy of death. I don't know whether you are guilty of these things in the sight of God, but I can tell you this, that everything is naked. All things, there's another all, are naked under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. All things, God looks down into your heart tonight and mine, and He knows every secret of our lives and our hearts. He knows everything. You cannot hide one thing from God. And here is how He categorized that first awful group. Now you might say, as I said, not so me. Now let's go on to the second group, those that we might call the philosophers or the rationalizers or those who might say, well, not me, not me. Let's read what God says in the second chapter, third verse. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do these things. I might pause here for a moment. You might just be saying this, well, isn't that an awful thing? And you might despise those that would be engaged in such activities. Oh, is this you? Would you despise those? And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? I think there's going to be an escape because you might not be doing some of these things in your own eyes. Might not be so. Now let's look at the next verse, the fourth verse. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Oh, let's pause there for a moment. What a world you and I are living in, dear friends. It is being shaken, uncertainty everywhere, increasing day by day, men's hearts failing them for fear. What about God? Oh, God is in mercy putting up with this. That's what it says there. Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long suffering? Not knowing that, here's the next one, the fourth one, the goodness of God, the power of God, the righteousness of God, the judgment of God, and here is the goodness of God, the judgment of God there too. Oh, dear friend, to realize that it is the goodness of God that is going to lead you to Him tonight. No words that I could say could move you one inch toward the Lord. But, oh, God desires this. But don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart and don't think why it's just going on and on and on. Don't despise that long-suffering mercy of God that is deferring in this world of the falling of that judgment. What else does it say? Fifth verse. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Oh, is there somebody here that's hardening your heart toward God? I see it more and more as I talk to people. Hardened heart toward God. Are there some young people here tonight that are hardening your heart toward God? Oh, I would bring you into the presence of God to realize that God knows whether you are despising that long suffering of His or whether you are hardening your heart toward Him. Oh, this is the second group. Now let's go on a little bit farther into the next chapter, third chapter. Here now, we might say, are those people who might be categorized as religious. In these scriptures, it's referring to the Jew. But let's apply this now to those who might say, well, I am following God. I read His Word once in a while. And you might be putting yourself in this class of being a pretty good living person. How does God speak now to you if you put yourself there? Third chapter of John, of Romans and verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Good living people, I speak to you tonight. God, in His Word, has shown you. I trust that you are listening up to me. I trust your thoughts won't be connected with me, but that you will get this message directly from God. Oh, pay attention, dear friend, to what God says. God says, I trust that you realize that you're being brought into the presence of God tonight before that awful day. And if you're in this religious or this self-righteous, if I could use that term, class, oh, God says that you're just the same as others. Now then, three groups. Now let's see how God summarizes all in the 19th verse. 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that, here's the verse, I should have started here, that every mouth may be stopped. And here's this word again, all the world may become guilty before God. I would have to say this, dear friend, that the Word of God now says to every one of us here in this world that in our natural condition, we are all guilty before God. You might not like that, but I just trust that I can speak in tender love to you tonight. My heart goes out in love. Oh, sometimes when I think of what it would be to sit in a gospel meeting like this and pass out of those doors and go into eternity and find that it is all true and to be conscious of the fact that you have heard the gospel and that you have neglected or rejected it and to find that you are guilty before God. Oh, sometimes it makes me just about sick to think of what that must be, to be guilty before God for all eternity. Not a million years. It is eternal. These facts that we are speaking of, we're dealing with issues that are forever, dear friends. Dear young boys and girls here, older ones, whatever your state of soul might be, God says that if you have not listened to Him, you are guilty before Him. Now, what else does it say? A little bit farther down. The end of the 22nd verse. For there is no difference. That's not very nice, is it? No difference. You look around the world and you might say, well, there's a big difference. But God says, and this is what I'm trying to bring before you tonight, dear friend, it is what God says, that there is no difference. No difference. And here again now is our word once more. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is what how God summarizes the whole condition of everyone who has not received what I am about to tell you tonight. Now you might say, That surely is a dismal message that he's giving out tonight. And it is, my dear friend, if it stopped here. But I must, in faithfulness to your soul, bring these facts before you so that you will, as you go and pass out of this room tonight, you won't have any false ideas of yourself if you have not received the gift of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. All have sinned. Is that the end of it? Oh, dear friend, it is but the beginning. Let's go back to the verse before, the 22nd verse. Now here is not the wrath of God. Here is not the judgment of God. Here is not the holiness, the righteousness of God, or the judgment. But what does it say? 22nd verse. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto, here's our word again, all. Oh, I have authority from God tonight to stand here and tell you that if you will receive what God is presenting to you tonight, that it is for every one of you, every one of us. All, says it, unto all. This message, this glorious message that I'm presenting to you tonight, is to every one of us, for we are all guilty before God. Oh, many, many times when I come into gospel meetings, when I sing these hymns, well, do I remember the day when I used to sing these very hymns and I knew that I was lost. Oh, dear friend, is there somebody here tonight? I plead with you. Listen to what God is saying. That there is a message now to you, to all, unto all. There isn't one person here, no matter where, how you might categorize yourself, that goes beyond that all. It embraces every one of us. Oh, do you get this message from the Lord tonight? It's you. It is you. Unto all. But then there's a little break. There's another all, but there's another little expression now. And it says, upon all them that believe. Ah, here now is the first time we find our break up, we might say. But there's still this all now. It's unto all, but it is up. Upon all them that believe. Oh, what a beautiful word that is. Believe, does it say do anything? No, it says upon all them that believe. Would you believe the first part, that you are a sinner in the sight of a holy, righteous God? Oh, please do. Please do. Please do tonight, dear friend. God says it. God says it. You're guilty before God. But then he says, unto all them that believe. Oh, would you believe God now on the second thing? And that is that there is grace now. The grace of God. We're going to read about it in a moment. The righteousness of God. How can God be righteous and take some people to heaven if we're all guilty? How can he do it? I often used to ask the children in the gospel tent, if Jesus Christ died for all, everybody is going to heaven? And sometimes they put up their hands, yes, and then they hesitate, not so sure. Ah, oh, dear friends, it's unto all. It's just as if, speaking reverently, a great covering was held out, and God gives the invitation and says, all come under this covering. But you must come under yourself. Individually, you must come to God. How? You must come in your sins. You must come as you are. Don't try to improve or to change your category, for God has brought everyone together unto all that believe. Oh, glorious message tonight that I have to proclaim. God says, unto all and upon all them that believe. Now let's go on a little bit farther into the fifth chapter. Now we come to this other word. This is the main point of what I would like to tell you of tonight. All, every one of us here, and now one. One glorious
12th verse.
Romans 5 and 12. Wherefore, as by one man, that was Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon, there's that word all again, all men, for that, here it is again, all have sinned. One man has brought this race into this fallen condition. Adam. You and I sin because Adam sinned. One man's sin has brought this whole human race into this fallen condition. But that's not the man I want to speak about. He's the one who brought this, as I said, brought us into this condition. But now let's go down to the 15th verse. 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the, here is a lovely expression, the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto all? No, many. Oh, blessed, dear friend here tonight, now I want to speak of the grace of God that is through one man, God has given to you here tonight. I want to make it very personal. God has sent one man, his beloved son, down to this poor, ruined, lost, guilty world. What for? For you, my dear friend, for me. The grace of God has provided one man. Oh, what a delight it is to have such a beautiful, glorious message to tell. I don't hear anybody with good news these days. Everything is bad and it's getting worse. But what a joy it is to proclaim now, tonight, to you, here as an individual, dear young boys and girls, it's the grace of God that has sent the Lord Jesus Christ down to this earth. God become man. God become man. Knowing everything that would befall him here as a man. Knowing how he would be treated. He was willing and obedient to come down onto this earth and live here, first for the glory of his Father, and secondly for the salvation of your soul. Oh, dear friend, I proclaim to you tonight one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save your soul tonight and through that perfect life that he lived here, absolutely sinless life, he offered that life in a sacrifice to God, and he has by his death and the precious blood that he shed on that cross of Calvary, he is able to save your soul tonight. This is the righteousness of God. God doesn't just say, I'm going to save some and some I'm not going to save. No, it is not like that. God desires that everyone would be saved. But you must put your trust tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through his precious blood. I want to emphasize that. I want to bring in the all in connection with this blood. It's not very popular to speak about. I know. I'm not trying to be popular here with you tonight. I want to be faithful to God. I want to be faithful to your soul. I may never see you again. You might never hear of the grace of God tonight again. And you might spend a lost eternity forever away from this God of grace and love. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All. Oh, what a glorious word. All sin. Your sins tonight, let me make it plain, that are known to God, every deed you have ever done, every word that you have ever said against God, every sin that you have ever committed, every thought that you have ever had against a holy God, every one of them, all are recorded against you, dear friend. Can you sit here tonight and hear the grace of God being presented, the holiness of God being presented, that you're going to face that God maybe tonight, maybe tonight? Oh, may God have mercy on your soul. May you be awakened tonight to hear this glorious message of the grace of God, that he has provided a Savior. This is our glorious message to every one of us here tonight, that it is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that cleanses us from all sin. I stand here by the grace of God before you, and I know that that precious blood that he shed upon that cross of Calvary has cleansed me forever in the sight of God from all my sins. They're gone forever. Wouldn't you like to have that blessed confidence tonight? Oh, dear friend, it's open for you if you will but listen to what God says. If you will but believe that through that death of the Lord Jesus Christ, what a shameful death it was, there is salvation for you. What do they do to him? Oh, what did this world do to this one who came in lowly grace to this earth? They spit in his blessed face. That's what they did. They spit in his blessed face. Oh, what an insult. Was that all? No. They blindfolded him. They put a scepter in his hand, a sign of authority, in mockery. And they bowed the knee before him. And then they took that scepter and struck him across his blessed face. Blessed Lord Jesus. He took all that in love for our souls. Is that what saves our souls? No. That is not what it does. That's what man did to God. That's what makes this world guilty now. This is what has brought down the judgment, the final, I shouldn't say final, but this is what God is referring to when he says, now is the judgment of this world. Oh, my dear friend, I just have to tell you this, that God has pronounced the judgment. It's settled. Tells us in the third chapter of John's Gospel in the 18th verse, he that believeth not is condemned already. There's no question of your waiting to hear whether you're guilty or not. You're condemned as you stand here. But oh, dear friend, I want to emphasize, though we are condemned, God in love now holds out to you the gift of grace. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. They took him from that judgment seat. They took him outside of the city of Jerusalem. They laid him down on a cross of wood. They nailed his blessed hands and feet with nails. And they lifted him up there as a spectacle of insult and shame. Oh, why was he there? Because he loves you, my dear friend. He loved me unto death. To death. Oh, that's love. God's love tonight is offered to you. Are you going to spurn it? Are you going to despise it? Are you going to neglect that love? That love that took the Lord Jesus Christ to that cross is a love for you tonight. I want to emphasize that. I want you to never forget this, and I just trust, oh, how we've been praying that there would be some souls here tonight that would be awakened, first of all, to your lost condition, and then to the fact that a Savior is ready and willing and able to save you. Oh, blessed Lord Jesus, he allowed those nails to be put into his hands and lifted up there on that cross because he loves you. And let me tell you this. If you pass out of this life without Christ as your Savior, this blessed one in his love for you on that cross that you may have despised and rejected, oh, what will I say? It will never pass from your memory for eternity, eternal ages. Oh, dear friend, may I open up before you the awfulness of an eternity that is facing you tonight here if you are without Christ. You dear boys and girls that are here tonight, have you ever accepted the Savior? Are you just pretending that everything is well? Oh, that you might be awakened tonight. Have you accepted the blessed Savior? He died on that cross. He took all that shame, that insult. That wasn't all. Right at 12 o'clock noon, the sun at his highest, suddenly God shut out the sun. And for 3 hours on that cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ was punished for my sins. I can't say for the sins of everyone here. I can say for all those who have believed. Where do you put yourself tonight? Can you say, thank God, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he has paid for my sins? Oh, dear friend, let me make it personal to you. Have you put your trust for yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his work upon that Calvary's cross for you? Oh, dear friend, please, for your own soul's sake, for the glory of God, accept that blessed Savior. In those hours of darkness, we don't know what happened. Shut out from the eyes of man, when God, a holy God, poured out his wrath. Let me say this in interruption. Are you going to have this wrath of God poured upon your soul for eternity? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God shall abide on him forever. Oh, dear friend, awake tonight to your awful condition. That precious, blessed man endured those hours of darkness, and he could cry out at the end of the hours, those 3 hours, he could triumphantly cry out, "It's finished!" That glorious work of salvation has been finished. And then that soldier approached him and found that that blessed Savior had given his life. No one took it from him. He had power to lay it down. He had power to take it again. That blessed Lord Jesus, he laid down his life in love to your never dying soul. And what did that soldier do? He pierced his blessed side. He plunged that spear into the side of a dead Christ. And forthwith came there out blood and water. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. One man's work upon the cross. One man. Oh, that we might just point only to Christ tonight. That your eyes might be open to see one man tonight before it is forever too late. Oh, we're just at the last days of the day of grace, I do believe. I don't see how it can get much worse. It's just plunging on, worse and worse. Oh, dear friend, it might be the last time you will ever hear God's grace presented to you. Are you going to neglect this? That precious blood of Christ that is able to wash every sin away? That work has been completed, and he just says to you in all simplicity, believe it. Believe it. But it must be real. Is there somebody here tonight, dear boy or girl, older person, someone who may have been neglecting this? Are you going to be willing to follow one blessed word in this same book? Romans 10 and 9, let me quote it plainly for you, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What has God done? Did he leave the blessed Lord Jesus in that grave? No, no. We've been hearing today of that glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Proof positive. Seen by 500 believers at one time. Walked here on this earth for 40 days. Then taken outside, went outside the city of Jerusalem there in the town of Bethany. He was raised up to heaven. That man is in heaven tonight. He is in heaven, we sang about him. There is a Savior on high in the glory. A Savior that is looking down into your heart tonight and longs that you will come to him. Oh, dear friend, we sung that hymn. Oh, come now to Jesus. He's coming back. He's coming back. 8:25 now. If in the next few minutes the Lord Jesus comes, he's coming back. If he comes back in these next few moments, I know that the vast majority in this audience tonight is going to silently go through this roof into glory with the Savior forever. Are you going to be left here sitting on these chairs alone? Oh, just think of. That's what filled my heart with consternation more than anything else, was the realization that if the Lord Jesus Christ came, I would be left behind. Thank God, no longer do I have that fear. I know that if the blessed Lord Jesus will come in these next moments, I'll rise to meet him in the air, not because of any worthiness on my part, but because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, has cleansed me from all sin. Dear friend, will you do what that Romans 10 and 9 says? Is there someone here tonight before you go out that door that will settle this question once and for all? Clear in my memory as if it were yesterday was that day that I just confessed that blessed name to my Sunday school teacher. Oh, blessed Lord Jesus, He waits now for someone here just to accept in your heart the Lord Jesus as your Savior and to have the assurance of His Word, if you conform to what it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, with your mouth, people say, oh, it's easy. I say to you, the Word of God says, if you will confess with your mouth, will you do it tonight? Some of you boys and girls here that have been hesitating about your salvation, will you make this moment now when the Spirit of God is pleading with you? Maybe the last opportunity you will ever have. Oh, may God give you the grace to take that stand tonight. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And may there be some soul here tonight who will take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and confess before you go out of that door. Don't put it off. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus or Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Wonderful, glorious message to close with. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Take that free gift of God tonight. Believe God's Word. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And you'll walk out of that door a new creature in Christ. Won't you do that tonight? Oh, we're going to pray now. May God enable someone, while we're praying, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Let us bow in prayer.